Let us pray. Lord God, guide us to hear and absorb and to apply your word rightly. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the C.S. Lewis book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a scene where Edmund has been captured by the White Witch whilst Susan, Lucy, Peter, and Mr. and Mrs. Beaver are running away from her. They hide when they think they hear her coming, but instead, a very unexpected and welcomed visitor appears. Any ideas who it was? Santa. That's right, Santa, Father Christmas, that's who appeared. So it may be a little bit early for Father Christmas stories. However, the point is that he came to give them gifts. But he said as he gave them gifts, these gifts are tools to use in the battle against the forces of evil and to build God's kingdom. There was a purpose behind the gifts. Father Christmas advises the children to use them wisely. It's also interesting that while giving out these gifts, Father Christmas gave them to each of the children. He didn't just give them to Peter as the oldest and perhaps most mature. He gave them to Lucy and Susan and to Peter. And as we think on that scene, and if you have a chance to see The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe, you'll see the gifts that are given. As we think on that scene, this morning our theme is that we are gifted for service, and that means each one of us. Some time ago in the church here, we ran a spiritual gifts course, and it's been interesting to see in the years that followed that time of discovery how God not only revealed the gifting he had given to people, but also how he has used those people in unexpected ways to protect and strengthen and build his church, both here and elsewhere. So this morning, my prayer is that this may be a first glimpse for each of us to consider how God has given you gifts to serve him. And particularly, maybe if you feel your gifts are limited, I want to encourage you to be open to the guidance of the Spirit and to begin to see how he has gifted you for service. God has designed us to be unique and beautiful. We are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It's only together that we become the masterpiece, that the whole picture fits together and makes sense, especially when it comes to the matter of finding and fulfilling our calling and gifting in life. For us to make sense of our life calling and to find purpose, we need to humbly receive from God a revelation of his calling. And gifting forms part of discovering that purpose. Paul describes his calling in this way in Ephesians 3, verses 7 and 8. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. And as we hear those few short words, there's a powerful combination of both humility and of power. Paul is given the ministry of an apostle. And on the one hand, we see his humility clearly. He knows that the gospel is bigger and far more important than himself, describing himself as a servant. And in doing so, he's imitating the greatest servant of all, Jesus Christ, who, although he was in very nature God, chose to leave heaven and make himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found as appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2 and verses 7 and 8. And Paul, being very conscious of his past as a persecutor of God's people, not only calls himself a servant, he goes on to describe himself as being less than the least of all God's people. He therefore sees his apostolic ministry not as something that he deserved, but as something that was given to him, as a gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power, he says. And I wonder how often we long for that sort of leadership to be shown in this day and age. So often it is seen that those who are powerful or those who hold the greatest prestige are the ones that should be feted as leaders. But Paul comes humbly, realizing that he is coming as the least of all God's people, and that he comes only because of the grace given him through the power of the Spirit. And then he moves quickly on to consider the big and grand eternal purposes of God, which we see in verses 10 to 11. That now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The focal point of this verse is the church, and the plan is for the Lord to display his manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers of this world and to angels, both good and fallen. And the word manifold could be translated as many-colored, like a huge, beautiful picture. It includes Jews and Gentiles, all nations and tribes, and the universal church. God is displaying his many-colored wisdom. And with that in mind, let me briefly highlight three truths concerning the gifts God gives to his people and his purposes for our lives. First of all, God has a part for you to play. From Ephesians, we can see that our purpose is as much a gift of God's grace as is our salvation. Here in our passage today, Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 2, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you." This is the gift of purpose. And it's the same in verse 7, he says, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." Paul knew that not only his salvation, but his calling as an apostle, his life purpose, was a gift of God's grace. And in chapter 4, he goes on to highlight what was true for him, was and is true for every single Christ follower. Verse 7 of chapter 4, "To each one, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." So the question is, if God has a purpose for you and for me, and has uniquely gifted us to fulfill that purpose, how do we know what that purpose is? There's an interesting story that came from the rebuilding of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. One morning, Christopher Wren, the architect on the rebuilding, who was not personally known by many of the workers, stopped and asked three different labourers, all engaged in the same task, what they were doing. He got three different answers. The first said, "I'm cutting this stone." The second answered, "I'm earning 3 shillings and 6 pence a day." And the third man straightened up, squared his shoulders, and still holding his mallet and chisel, replied, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build this great cathedral." They each had three different ways of looking at the same job. The first one was just doing a task. The second one was just earning a living. The third was doing a small part of a great work. He did not personally know the architect or understand how this task fitted into the overall plan, but he believed there was a plan and that by following it, he would help create something greater than himself, a work of art that would be much greater than himself. Which worker do you think was getting the most satisfaction from his work? God wants us to see that he is building a work of art, not a physical bricks and mortar. He's building a spiritual temple with the living stones of his redeemed people so that he can live amongst them and with his powerful presence call them to fulfill his wonderful eternal purposes through their lives. And how do we know what that purpose is? Well, there's three ways. First of all, by revelation. When we sense God speaking to us, which is what happened to the Apostle Paul in his journey. Secondly, by consultation. And often we need help, and so we discuss it with others who can help us discern where we would best fit. And thirdly, by experimentation. And this can be the most helpful for many people. Learn what you are called to do through doing. And this is not a static thing. The more we get involved, the more we will get into that sweet spot and have a sense of flow. Time doesn't matter. It's as if something you were born for, and it's a lifelong mission. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 gives us an eternal perspective on our calling by the Lord. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so Paul is saying, in the light of your future resurrection, know that your service for the Lord in this life is not in vain. Therefore, give yourselves fully to this service. God has a part for you to play in his eternal purposes. And secondly, God has people for you to reach. God has placed each and every one of us on the earth, rescued us by grace in order that we might help, bless, and reach out for Christ. You will never find your true life purpose by living just for yourself. You need to live beyond yourself to see other lives transformed. Just as the Apostle Paul was very clear about the people that God had called him to reach, the Gentiles, it's the same for you and for me. First, we have a mission as individuals for those in our workplace and neighborhood and friendship groups. And your job is not just a job, it's a way to represent Christ where you are. All are called to bless. And just taking the letters of that word, B-L-E-S-S, first the B is begin in prayer. Ask the Lord, who do you want to bless through me? Second, the L is for listen. Seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It could be listening by purposefully discovering your spiritual gifts and setting out to use them to build the Church of Christ. And through time, those giftings may change. And thirdly, the E is to eat. Now that's a tough one. But how often are we rushing about so much that we don't have time to show love and acceptance for others by inviting them for a meal, or if that's not possible, even out for a coffee? And fourthly, the S is for serve. To serve by purposely seeking to do good and offering healing. That's what Jesus did. Practical help is a ministry, and is offering to pray for healing. And Jesus did both. And so we should avoid the pitfall of thinking that one is spiritual and that the other isn't. And finally, the final S is share the story. In Acts 22, Paul told a story. And in essence, it was a simple story. His life before knowing Jesus, followed by how he met with the Lord, and then his life after he had received Christ and began to serve him. We are called to bless others. Secondly, we have a mission in the community. There are amazing stories of what local groups are doing all across the church, and even in the Church of Ireland Gazette and in other publications, there are testimonies of how people are serving in a wide variety of ways in their local community. We are called to reach people with the gospel and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Last week, I was at a business meeting, and during that meeting, it became clear that the person chairing it was very concerned about his wife, who was ill in hospital. And so I stopped at the end of the meeting, and I said to him, listen, sometimes the chaplains don't get everybody in hospital. Do you have a minister whom I could contact and let him know that your wife's in hospital, and I'd ask your minister to go and visit? And the guy said, well, I don't have a minister. So I said to him, well, would you like me to call in? So I called in and read the Bible with her and prayed with her. And, you know, this past week has been particularly busy. And just in the midst of all that busyness, I got a phone call from someone else to say that the woman was now out of hospital and had really appreciated the visit. And that moment of just receiving the phone call in the midst of the busyness was a great blessing to me. And I knew that I'd fulfilled God's purpose by visiting and praying for her. The Lord has people for each of us to reach and to bless. And it's amazing how in his grace he blesses us when we bless others. Let me encourage you. There are people for us to reach, and so let's do it. And thirdly, God has a place for you to serve. We have earlier in this Transformed Life sermon series considered the fact that we are citizens of God's kingdom, members of his family, and living stones in God's temple. And another picture of the church is members together of one body, Ephesians 3 and verse 6. And the key is to get in a team, get connected, and start serving alongside others. Our overall motivation to serve is our love for our Heavenly Father. He has given all of us, so our service comes out of our hearts that we are thankful for his grace and love. And it's wonderful to think that he wants us to partner with him in his work. That truly is a privilege. And the picture of us as members of a body is hugely significant in Paul's understanding of our purpose as Christians. He picks up on this again in chapter 4 when he talks about the body growing strong and healthy. Chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. Speaking the truth in love, we will all grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And sometimes people think they are insignificant or not needed. No, you're needed, all right. If you've ever damaged a ligament, you'll know how important they are. And before you think there are so many others willing to serve, I don't need to be involved, stop and think. It's not just about you, it's about God. And it's about those around us. You are not just on your own. You have a critical role to play. The scriptures teach us in Ephesians 3 and verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. And commenting on this passage, John Stott puts it like this. The church as a multiracial, multicultural community is like a beautiful tapestry. Its members come from a wide range of colorful backgrounds. No other human community resembles it. Its diversity and harmony are unique. It is God's new society. And the many-colored fellowship of the church is the reflection of the many-splendored wisdom of God. As disciples, this vision of the church should deeply affect our attitudes and shape how we invest our time and our talents and our treasure. When each member plays his or her part, all functioning as God designed, the church is truly glorious. It is the hope of the world and a many-colored display of the wisdom and of the grace of God. You are gifted for service. The challenge to each of us now is to play our part. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to be servants of the gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. God, we thank you for that gift of grace. We thank you that we receive it not only in salvation, but also in knowing our purpose as part of your kingdom and of your church. Guide us by your Holy Spirit to fulfill those godly purposes in each of our lives and to build up the whole body of the church in this place and in every place. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.